Travers Cosgrove, Reel 2. So, your basic training went on, and how long do you think you were at Barton, Stacey?
It was early autumn when we went to Octu, which was 140 or 141, which was in Aldershot, Al Buhira Barracks. But we were then at the stage of merging two Octus, the two engineer Octus, field Octus, 140 and 141, in a new barracks in Newark. So we hardly got to Aldershot and suffered a little bit of drilling and marching before they wanted volunteers for the advance party to go up to Newark and unload the field works materials and bridging materials there.
Well, how did you take to Aldershot after your basic training? I mean, Aldershot was quite a big...
Well, we never saw anything of it, actually. Yeah. We weren't there long enough.
Right.
Okay. Those who stayed didn't go in the advance party, might have had a weekend there.
But you more or less went to...
No, we had no experience of the Aldershot you're thinking of, military life at all.
So, Newark, what was that like? Do you remember the travelling up there?
Yes, we took a train all the way. And you know now that there are trains that run from Bedford to Brighton. Well, that line has always existed. And we went from Aldershot to Newark, right through the centre of London. A steam train. So that was, as a railway trained person, this was quite fun for me. I actually went from Aldershot to Newark through the very centre of London.
What did you see of London on the way? I mean, did you see the amount of...
Oh, it was daylight. It was daylight. But
you saw how damaged was it?
Well, you didn't see, because there had been the Blitz, but not the doodlebugs. You didn't see... You weren't struck that it was devastated.
So arriving at Newark then?
Arriving at Newark. Well, this was... It had been a training battalion for recruits, so it was established. It was simply another hutted camp. Bowbridge Road Camp. It was the best part of a mile out of the centre of Newark, so you had to get home on the Saturday evening or whenever it was, had to get back to camp. The bridging site was a little distance away, and probably that was mostly a track journey. It was really, I suppose, unloading in the railway yard, or helping to unload in the railway yard, and unloading on site the bridging materials which we were going to use. And it was the first time we really had to display some initiative.
First time you've sort of felt like an engineer, I suppose.
Yes. Yeah. I remember someone I made good friends with who had come from Aberdeen, so he bonded with me a bit.
What was his name?
I do remember it, but it'll come.
Remember, yeah.
He couldn't get anybody to do things for him. When you're giving an order, I learnt then, and he didn't learn, that you have to tell people in the form of giving the order, you use your voice and the words to give them warning when they've actually got the lift. Well, he didn't succeed in giving his orders. He used the words, but he didn't succeed in putting the emphasis on them to get people to tense their muscles and lift. So he was hopeless. I think I helped him get a bit better, but he hadn't learnt that, although he was a sergeant already.
So he can't have got much respect from the
other ranks. I think we pointed it out to him, and he gradually got better. When this is the beginning of 6 months or 4 months or whatever it was, he must have been doing some job where he had some civilian skills that were needed.
But weren't communication skills.
No, they weren't communication skills.
So what were you actually doing? What rank were you? And what
you were a cadet, an officer cadet.
Right. Okay.
You were learning.
What were you actually doing each day then?
Well, you'd have months of classwork. You would have some drills, taking drills, learning what it would be like in a military union. And of course, those that had been there before, it was too easy, but I had to learn it all. And then you'd have mock battle conditions.
Exercises.
Yes, probably very small scale. You'd have to learn to drive a vehicle, a three-tonner. Well, again, I could drive, but some of them couldn't at all. The ones who were already sergeants would have been driving all right.
So what sort of theory were you doing on engineering? Were you learning at that time? Was this all bridges they were talking about?
No. The whole engineer, bridges was a very small portion of it. And the bridges we had at that time, I mean, Bailey Bridge hadn't been invented. We were dealing with World War I type bridges.
Like what, for instance?
Well, K-pop. Things for infantry, the pontoon bridge, which was class 12, I think, maximum. You were dealing with, well, the principle of getting of dealing with it was perfectly same as ever, but you weren't dealing with what we learnt to deal with when we were in a division and apply it and do it, even though the enemy didn't want you to do it.
Can you sort of, knowing nothing about engineering, tell me what sorts of different practical things you were learning? I can make the bridges, you know.
Yes. Well, field. You've already talked about field works yourself. You realise that, yes, that you. But that's from a static war. You, other than a slip trench, we didn't really do much in the way of field works ever. You had to protect yourself, but field works were the enemy could obviously erect barricades, be it barbed wire or whatever. Barbed wire was the problem. Field works as World War I were hardly taught. Mm-hmm. I don't remember that at all.
Right. So what did they teach you apart from?
Well, to be a soldier. Mm. I mean, to be an officer.
Right. So I was thinking about the engineering practical. They didn't teach you any other.
Rafting and watersmanship. That would be bridging. But rafting and watersmanship was a major problem, because on a big gap you've got to float. That was something that took quite a lot of time.
What sort of equipment were you using?
Well, the pontoons then were just as they are now. They're two bow sections butted together with when it came to the Bailey Bridge, they put a third section in the middle to give the buoyancy for the 40-ton loads they had to carry. And you would make a raft up like this, and you would have to learn to navigate this raft, because it's no good just drifting. And you'd have petrol-engined propeller units.
So where did you actually do this?
On the River Trent, on the lake, anywhere where there was big enough water thing. Then demolitions, placing charges and trying to make them blow up. Others they didn't.
What sorts of explosives?
Well, TNT chiefly. The other one which we obviously did do was Amonal, which is a slow explosive. TNT is a high explosive, but which you would use to make it blow up from underground when you had the lift rather than to break. And camouflage was the term we used. The camouflage is, a French name for making a hole behind the abutment of a bridge, filling it with explosive and blowing the abutment out. So you have camouflage equipment, which we certainly did use. That's the sort of thing. We had camouflage, because how to make the hole, you see, you would get a tube, about a 3-inch diameter tube, and you had to have a nose on that. And four men would then have a great specially designed hammer to bang it down. It was a slow job and a heavy job, and in chalk, an awful job, as I discovered in Normandy. But you would bang this thing down. Well, now, the point, what I'm actually getting under is quite a diversion, is the point of this tube had to be strong enough, and it was made of cast iron, and they were the heaviest big things. You had to imagine, you can imagine you would have a case of these, 50 of them, and they would have to, that was a two-man load, and it was a heavy load. when they thought we were getting on, you know, likely to become officers, we had what was called a wheelbarrow race. We had a wheelbarrow, a rope, and a box of camouflage. And with these, we had to, half a dozen of us would be, we had to run a distance and this in our particular case there was a quarry. They made ball bearings, if you remember, at Newark, and whatever it was for grinding these was excavated from holes in the ground. And some of these disused quarries were there, great big places. Anyway, they said, "Well, we'll sort you out with a couple of hundred yards on the top, and then you go out on this jetty and down it into the flooded bit, over the upside, up the cliff, and run along to the finish down there." Well, we who hadn't been in the army were really rather taken aback. And the ones who had been in the army said very little, but they knew that they were probably too old for this sort of ridiculous sort of thing. Anyway, we said, well, you start off, and they agreed to. They were the seniors, NCOs, and they were the, but we did, and they were quite right. They got across the field a bit quite well, and then when there was a bit of a small cliff just up to the, well, it might have been 6 feet high, they were worn out, and I found myself pulling it up, and the only one actually at the top to wheel the barrow with the load in it, you see. So I took off down the slope of the and out onto the end of the pier, 30 feet above the water, and there was nobody else my club there, so I threw the wheelbarrow into the lake, jumped in after it, and had made fast the rope and left the box behind. Sure enough, by the time I had done that and taken the wheelbarrow across the other side and back, there was one of my chaps on the top, and he lowered the thing down and threw the rope after it, and he said, how do you get down? I said, jump. Oh no, he said, no, I can't do that. So somehow he got down, but anyway, I was up over the other side, and up the cliff with the rope and pulling something up, and down again to fix the next thing. By the time he came, so he helped with that. And I had him up. He said, wait for me. Well, by the time I waited for him to climb the cliff, I was halfway along to the end point. So I was quite surprised to find that we civilians had a part to play. The sergeants and warrant officers were somewhat behind us.
Were they impressed with the way you...
Well, quietly, they didn't say much. But yes, they were.
I made a bit of a mark,
yes. The officer who's running the thing said, well, it's not a record time, but it's a good time. So shouldn't have been a record after all. Because there would have been, I could have used a helper quite a bit more. But
what other sort of practices did you
have? Well, very, very little of that sort of thing. You would go and do... You would do a demolition at night, take a railway bridge and put dummy charges on, but you could test it with the electrical current. Well, I was in charge of that, but I think a friend of mine fudged it and made a connection where there wasn't one, but otherwise we wouldn't have got home. But, you know, you didn't actually... you weren't going to blow the bridge up, so it didn't... Yes, we helped one another quite a lot. But
what was the spirit like?
Our spirit was good. Was good. There was one or two people who you saw for yourselves were not going to succeed, or if they did succeed, would have to be in some sheltered occupation.
What sort of ways were they not succeeding? Was it in physical strength or...?
No. They weren't succeeding because they were always going sick. Or they weren't succeeding because they thought themselves to the bee's knees. One or two of each of these, but only one or two out of 50. Mm.
So you could see what the officers who were training you were wanting out of you quite
yes.
clearly.
Yes, quite clearly.
It was good training.
It was excellent training. Excellent training.
So you were all quite glad to be there, and you know.
Well, you had earned your colours, so to speak. Mm. Yes, mm. Yes.
So how long were you at Newark?
Well, I forget how long, about 4 months or something of that sort. We got away for Christmas.
That'd be Christmas 1942.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We got home for Christmas with our commissions.
Yeah. Right. So did you have a sort of a passing out
parade? Yes. Yeah. Yes. We were told, most of us were told, we can order your uniforms about a month or so before. And I suppose those who weren't told disappeared about that time.
What was the passing out parade like? Did your parents come up?
No. It was. But there were. It was quite a big unit. There would be at that time a class passing out every fortnight, so besides yourselves, who would be, some of us became class officers. In other words, there was half a dozen. I was the last one to be made a class officer, they must have wondered about this civilian getting in on this job. But we were rafting on a canal part of the trench, and I noticed that the officer was looking at me very hard and called me up because somebody throwing the best line for the rope ashore made a balls of it, and I ordered me to do it, and I did it perfectly. So he told me off, and he was going to make me a class officer. So that was how I did it. But most of the others were more people who had been warrant officers or sergeants.
Right, so they'd obviously singled you out a little bit and seen. Well,
yes, I suppose so.
Okay. So you spent Christmas 1942
yes,
at home?
Yes, and...
What was that like? How austere was that Christmas?
No. How austere it should have been, I have no idea, but I'm sure my parents rolled out the fatted calf to do it. And then this friend from that I joined up with, he came and, oddly, he was going to be posted to a unit quite close to me at Maidstone. So he came and joined us for New Year, which I don't know quite how he managed that, but anyway, he did come for New Year, and we then went together down to Maidstone to begin second or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So new venue, Maidstone.
A new venue, Maidstone.
Where were you actually?
Moat Park. The officers' mess was in the house at Moat Park.
So you were an officer, and it must have been quite a different role.
A very different role. I'd never been an officer before. And I had no idea of mess etiquette.
So how did you learn that?
The hard way.
Tell me about some of the mess etiquette.
Well, they were closing the bar. You don't say, "Time, gentlemen, please." I didn't know what to do.
What did you have to say?
Well, go to the senior, I was told very sharply, you go to the senior officer present and ask his assistance in closing the bar. I wouldn't have known who was the senior officer anyway. But that was hard.
So they were making you conform to their
traditions. Oh, yes.
Their traditions,
yes,
straight away.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Because, I mean, the engineers aren't a very old concept, are they?
Oh, well, they do. But... Yes, there are certainly, but the traditions that were mess traditions, but they weren't old. It's just that I had no experience of that. I wasn't a bar fly, and it didn't come easy anyhow.
So were you in charge of the bar in some way?
No. If you were the duty officer,
right. Okay. was
that came in rotation. Yes.
So what was your accommodation like then?
Oh, quite good in Moat House.
Yeah. You
well, there were two chaps in a room. Yes, yes, yes. We had good. But you had the room. You have your own military camp bed. The room would be basically empty. You just have your own equipment. I don't know whether anybody had more luxurious, but you know, it was a good room, and you would have a batman.
So you got your first Batman.
Then. Yes, yes.
What was that like? That's a funny feeling.
Yes, it was. Yes, yes, yes.
Do you remember his name?
Not really. I could depict him, but I don't remember his name.
Did he tell you about?
He didn't know anything. He didn't know anything.
Oh, really?
I had to pick him. And, you know, really, he knew less than me. So yes, that. You're quite right. It would have been sensible for me to draw on somebody else's experience, but it didn't happen that way.
Yes, I might rather imagine a Jeeves with a young.
I would have. It would have been a great help. That I failed, you know, in that respect. I just.
How did you get on together? Because you had a sort of, not quite a master-servant relationship, but you were now an officer with a...
Yes, well...
Directly under your orders, as it were.
I never found that a difficult problem. He may have done, but I didn't. That wasn't a problem.
Did you get on together?
Young, his name was. G.R. Young, yeah. There was a vacancy in the company. It was a regiment in Moat House, the 53rd Div Royal Engineers headquarters. All the four companies and Div H Corps were there, so it was a large unit, the like of which I never saw again. And I was allocated to 244 Welshfield Company, and I went in to them the next morning, and they said, "Well, one of our officers, who is an architect, has transferred to us from the Durham Light Infantry. He came from Newcastle." But he's away on a conversion course. I suppose the engineer aspects of the two that I had been to. And you'll take over his platoon till he comes back. So that was being a bit chucked in the deep end as well. But it went all right. It went all right. They were tolerant of me, and I liked them. And that went fine, but I had to choose my batman from that platoon.